We're speaking now with Luke Mayville with Reclaim Idaho. Luke, thank you for being here today.
Great to be here with you, Chris, as always.
And we have the filmmakers, Laura Wing Camusi and Jim Camusi. They're on our Zoom call as well. Laura and Jim, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
So the occasion here is we're going to be showing your movie, Reclaim Idaho, at the Panda Theater here in Sandpoint on Saturday. And a lot of folks are familiar with what Reclaim Idaho is. And we're going to talk about the making of this movie, which, by the way, I saw a while back. And it's a fascinating story, to be sure. But Luke, let's start out with you for just a couple minutes here, because we will have some listeners that aren't necessarily familiar with Reclaim Idaho. Tell us what the group is about before we start talking about the film.
Well, I and the other co-founders of Reclaim Idaho, Emily and Garrett Strizich, we all grew up in and around Sandpoint. And the origin of our organization and everything we do is back in 2017. We came together in Sandpoint together with a whole lot of other residents, and we got organized just to pass a local school levy. One of the levies was up for a vote. A lot of people in the community were worried that there was quite a lot of opposition to it, and they were seriously worried that it was not going to pass. We happened to have time in our schedules to set aside a few weeks to just focus on organizing a door-knocking campaign to get as much support for that levy as possible. And the levy ended up passing, but more importantly for us for the long run, it really inspired us with an idea that you could bring people together, even people who really disagreed on a lot of politics, a lot of political parties or personalities. They could still come together around something like supporting their local schools. That motivated us to try something similar for the whole state of Idaho. And that was really the origin of building the organization Reclaim Idaho and, having the confidence to get out there and launch the campaign to expand Medicaid, which is what we're primarily known for and which is what the documentary chronicles is our campaign to expand Medicaid in 2018, which, as many listeners will know, turned out to be successful. A whole lot of other organizations eventually got on board. Local teams of volunteers formed all over the state to get it done, to get it on the ballot and to convince their neighbors to vote for it. And as of today, the program is up and running. There are nearly 120,000 people now enrolled in Medicaid expansion, many of whom before this program had not had any kind of healthcare coverage for all of their adult lives. And that includes something we're very proud of. It includes over 3,000 people just in Bonner County, and about another 1,000 people in Boundary County are enrolled in the Medicaid expansion program as a result of the campaign. We're now going all the way back full circle and working on the education funding initiative, the education funding issue that we started with. And we've got a signature drive in the works to increase funding for education all across the state. But maybe I could pause for a moment here, because that's not what the film is about. Maybe we could get more, we could speak more to that a little later.
And we will. I want to circle back on the Quality Education Act that you have the initiative underway right now, the initiative campaign underway right now. But let's turn to our filmmakers, Laura and Jim. So you are Brooklyn-based. You just told me a few minutes ago before we got started here. So how did you get connected to this story, and where did the idea for a documentary on this come from?
So we had been working with a friend of ours, Tim Faust, who's also in the film, and he's a healthcare activist, a single payer healthcare activist. And we've been talking about different things that we could make a film about. And he called one day and said, there's these people in Idaho and they have this rickety, crazy old RV. And it's this couple with this baby and their friend, and they're driving around Idaho trying to get Medicaid expansion passed. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to help them for a week, for the last week of the campaign. And do you guys want to come? And we were like, what? That's so cool. Yes, of course we want to come. That sounds amazing. So off we went.
We did discuss that it may be an incredibly depressing trip, depending on the outcome of the election. But the short answer is Tim dropped it in our lap.
Yeah.
You know, he was just an enthusiastic booster of these guys and said, you got to come see what these cats are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it was a very, normally when you do a film, you have, a pre-production period where you're doing a bunch of planning and maybe you're scripting a little bit or things of that nature. Not the case here. we kind of just had 10 days, I think. So we just sort of loaded up and went.
You had a phone call.
There were some phone calls.
With Emily,
right? That was really it. I mean, it was a very spur of the moment decision, and it just was one of those things that, Tim is a very passionate guy. And when he gets excited about something, it's usually worth paying attention to. So it didn't take us much convincing to go.
I will say that Green RV is one of the heroes of the movie. and it was, in fact, kind of a signature for you guys, right, Luke?
That's right. We were excited about it when we first came up with the idea. It was just an old camper that Garrett and Emily had bought for themselves to just, travel around North Idaho, really. I think they had bought it for about $1,500. And we were excited when we came up with the idea to spray paint it bright green and put our slogan Medicaid for Idaho across the side of it. We didn't know though at the time just how successful that idea was going to be and how much people would love it. It really did, exceed our expectations, and it became, we would show up in small towns around Idaho, and once or twice during that campaign, the camper actually broke down. So we would just show up in someone's car or something. And we had all the materials with us, and we'd be really excited to tell people about our campaign and get them organized. And they would just have this kind of blank look on their face. Like, what? The camper's not here. It was basically like we weren't that, it didn't count because the camper wasn't there. So it did become the icon, and it really embodied what our organization is all about.
Yeah. So, Jim, you touched on this. You said it could have turned out to be kind of a depressing movie about an effort that failed. Yep. I'm sure that was what was, forefront in your mind as you set out to do this. Were you going to make the film either way, whether the initiative passed or not?
We did discuss this before heading out. And I think that we weren't really sure what we were going to get. But I think we did have a conversation where we said, there will be something to learn here one way or the other.
Yeah.
We had to go and find out.
Right? Yeah. I mean, either it was going to be, I'll preface this by saying that on the way there, I thought, if they win, this will be a great underdog story, right? Like that's what this is. But it wasn't. It was in no way an underdog story. People wanted Medicaid expansion. They wanted it badly, and they wanted it on both sides of the aisle. And so I think like Jim said, we were gonna learn something either way. And I think it was a story. It was going to be a story worth telling no matter how it ended up.
We were, of course, we're doing this on our own steam. We're not entirely impartial. We did want them to win.
Yeah.
We went out there with the hopes that we would be filming a successful end to this campaign.
Yeah. But,
You mentioned you had 10 days. You mean 10 days to get ready or 10 days to spend in Idaho?
We had about 10 days to get ready. I think we were with them for about a week.
Yeah.
It was the last week of the campaign.
Well, tell us a bit about your background. What types of films have you made before? And is this similar in, you know, in its content to the types of film you've been doing?
You want to answer that?
No, it is not similar.
Totally.
This is our first film.
Oh, really?
It's our first feature film.
Okay.
We both have going way back a background in news, and we've done commercial work as a production team over the years, where we might be doing commercial work or lifestyle work or this type of thing, but we've always had kind of a documentary eye.
Yeah.
To this sort of stuff. So yeah. We've been sort of sharpening our skills over the course of our careers, kind of just waiting for something like this to sink our teeth into, I think.
I think right before we left, we were shooting a campaign for like a huge cosmetics company. So it was very, there's a real difference in the work, put it that way. But I think I prefer this.
So the film has been in a bunch of film festivals. How has it been received?
I think it's going to see really positive. Well,
what's not to like?
Well, you know, it is an underdog story for sure, and you know, I mean, it epitomizes grassroots right down to the color of the RV. But what kind of expectations did you have? You knew you were coming to a pretty conservative state, Idaho being one of the most Republican states in the country, as is frequently put out there. What were you kind of expecting coming into it? Did you have expectations?
We had to do a lot of research in a very short period of time because we didn't really know much about Idaho or the politics of Idaho. Speaking for myself, I expected a lot of uncomfortable, awkward conversations and possibly some hostility just by virtue of holding a camera, none of which really materialized.
No.
Based on everything that Luke and company were doing, the way that they approached this was with such a level of respect and empathy and humanity that, I mean, it was just a really beautiful thing to be nearby while it was happening.
Yeah.
I would say my expectations were pretty blown out of the water by the reality of the situation.
Oh, for sure. I think that, you know, we're East Coasters. We live in New York City. We get exposed to a lot of, just your basic mainstream kind of media stuff, MSNBC, CNN, this sort of thing, New York Times. And I think that a lot of those media outlets don't necessarily portray clearly what red states are actually like. I think that there's a tendency with a lot of those outlets to almost villainize red states, like, oh, it's this scary place where everybody's super conservative and you know, they don't want to talk to anybody and they're not. They're going to be suspicious of you. And, everything's communism. They think everything's communism and all this sort of thing. And I never quite really believed that. But when you get out to Idaho and you see, it is nothing like it is portrayed in media. I think there's always going to be noisy people who can make any place look bad or scary, right? I mean, that's, you know. But what we saw were a bunch of people who needed help, who had neighbors who needed help, and who desperately wanted to give that help in any way that they could, and that they weren't being listened to by their legislators on both sides of the aisle, really.
That was a real eye opener for me.
That was a huge eye opener because I think, we're told over and over again that Republicans and conservatives don't want healthcare nationalized, don't trust it, don't trust any kind of government, anything. And it's just not the case, you know? So that was a huge eye opener. And I hope that that's something that people who aren't from Idaho or aren't from red states, I hope that that's something that they also get from the film.
And that's not to say that, to diminish the unbelievable amount of work that Luke and the team had to do, the amount of door knocking and conversations that they had, like the work still needed to be done, but just, I guess it's, there's a consensus there, but somebody has to go out there and really talk to people and get those light bulbs to go off and have people realize, oh, I can do something about this. And you know, that there's an action I can take to help. Yeah. And that had to happen, I think, from a genuinely grassroots place where these are local kids, you know, doing this. And they know these people, they know this state, they know these towns. And, you know, I think it's a tremendous blueprint for everywhere, really, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Well, to your point about perceptions of Idaho and red states in general, we do have a tendency, and it just keeps getting reinforced when you look at these maps of red states and blue states. But really, all states are a shade of purple. Yeah. So, and you know, it's, if you take a look at the map properly shown, where we can see how even a red state will have a lot of folks that, are blue living within them, and it renders it somewhat purple. Same with blue states will have red folks in them. So that tends to get lost. And, you know, I think that goes to your point that you made about the perceptions of Idaho in general, because, and the other part of it is we aren't strictly defined by how we decide to vote, which party we vote for, as to the compassion we can have for people. And right. Luke, maybe you can speak to that. I think you certainly got a lot of folks on board that are, you know, small government people, but they felt compassion for this particular issue.
That's right. It was the case early on that a lot of people did see us as the underdog, especially because they thought, wait, Medicaid is a government sponsored health care program. It's government. It's funded by largely by the federal government. So that's just, that seems, you know, to go against the grain of what Idahoans are all about. In that sense, people thought it was a huge uphill battle. By the time Laura and Jim, that you all arrived, it didn't quite seem that way. It was clear enough at that point. We'd done enough, you know, door knocking, talking to people. That so many people just thought it was reasonable, common sense thing to do to expand the Medicaid program. It turned out that, you know, tens of thousands of people in all these communities around the state have had life-changing positive experiences with the existing Medicaid program. You know, they had their children took advantage of it. They had elderly people in their family who had taken advantage of it, disabled people. And they knew that it was a real lifeline for their communities. So that story is just not, is often just goes untold, but one way to tell it is by knocking thousands of doors and just listening to people. One thing that was truly surprising on election night, even though by that point we thought we had a good chance of winning, what was surprising to all of us was how big the victory was. And especially not just that we won with, you know, about 61% of the vote, but more importantly, that we won the majority in almost every single county. We won the majority in Bonner County. We won the majority in Kootenai County. And then if you go down the list, it's even the five most rural, or, you know, or the five states with the least population, the smallest population, we won those counties, the five counties. So it turned out that a lot of the conceptions people have of what it means to be Republican or what it means to be conservative were wrong. There's, for so many people, there's no contradiction, there's no contradiction between being Republican or being conservative and really believing that your neighbors ought to be able to see a doctor when they get sick. And we're finding currently the same thing is true for education. If you don't have experience talking to a lot of people, you might think, oh, being conservative means being very skeptical of public schools and all that kind of thing. But if you go out and talk to people, it's almost the opposite. You'll hear people say things like, well, I'm a Republican, so I really believe in strong public schools. People just have very different kinds of views than are often attributed to them. And they don't fit the stereotypes. And one very common theme is that people just want their government to work for them. And they want their tax dollars to actually do good things for them and especially for their families and for their children. So, and that's what we've discovered. And that's the basic principle, I think, that motivates a lot of what we continue to do.
So Laura and Jim, were there any special obstacles you hit traveling around the state? What parts of the state did you actually travel in making the documentary?
Wherever they took us.
Yeah. we followed the Medicaid mobile everywhere. We were mostly in North Idaho. And first of all, it's so beautiful. It is so beautiful. And there's a scene where the Medicaid mobile breaks down on the side of the road. And I mean, it's just a normal highway, but it's stunning. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful place. And we were really struck by that. So that's gold for, you know, a filmmaker when you get a great story and beautiful visuals too. Mm-hmm. So it was really thrilling to be able to see so much of North Idaho, because we hadn't been there before.
Yeah.
There weren't a ton of obstacles. Emily and Garrett and Luke were so welcoming to us from the very beginning. Luke was
busy too.
We didn't meet Luke until a few days in, but Emily and Garrett welcomed us into their home with no questions asked. We're totally trusting, and basically said, listen, as long as you stay out of the way, film whatever you want. And so that's what we did.
And that's the biggest, like, the fact that we were able to speed run straight to a point of trust with the subjects is the only reason this worked. The fact that they were so open and trusting and allowed us in such an intimate way. That's the biggest thing. Anything else really that you could think of logistically or in any other way is something you can overcome. But typically it would take a bit of time to build a degree of trust with your subjects. But we meet Emily shoving a lens in her face and she's like, hi, nice to meet you, and gets right into it without skipping a beat. So we're just forever grateful that they were so lovely and warm and open to us. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's throw in at this time. So the movie is airing this Saturday. That's January 8th at the Panda Theater at 7 p.m. Now, Luke, you're going to be there a little bit early. Doors open at 6. You'll be around if folks want to talk. I imagine you will be gathering a signature or two for the newest initiative you have underway. But you're also going to speak more formally after the film. Is that correct?
Yes. Some on the local volunteer team for Bonner County will be collecting signatures. I'll probably collect a few signatures. We'll be there an hour early for a meet and greet for people to just stop by and learn more about Reclaim Idaho and the work we do. So that starts at 6, but the movie starts at 7. And then I'll just speak very briefly immediately following the movie, which is about an hour, the film. So I'll speak briefly about the future of Reclaim Idaho and the Quality Education Act and how important it is for us to keep collecting signatures and put this new initiative on the ballot.
So an initiative, in case folks aren't acquainted with that, it's the means by which you get a measure introduced on the ballot. And it comes from a petition that a certain number of registered voters have to sign. In Idaho, what's the threshold in Idaho that you have to meet in order to get something placed on the ballot by citizens?
Well, you have to get signatures from 6% of registered voters across the entire state, which is about 65,000 voters. And then you also have to get signatures from 6% of voters in at least 18 different districts. So, you know, Boundary and Bonner County are roughly one of the 18 districts. So it's a lot. You've got to get 65,000 across the state, and then you really got to get out there all and spread them out widely in every region.
Mm-hmm. And with the current Quality Education Act initiative that you have underway, how far along are you, and what's your timeline to gather those signatures?
We are doing very well. We've got until May 1st of this year, this new year. We have already collected 42,000 signatures. Now, as I mentioned, we need 65,000. Some of our signatures are going to prove to be invalid, probably not many, but we might need to get to about 80,000 or so to get to the 65,000 that we need. But we're already about halfway there with still 4 full months to go. And we're also doing really well in the various different parts of the state. So locally, Legislative District 1, which is Bonner County and Boundary County, I believe we are only about 400 or 500 signatures left to go. Now we're going to encourage people to keep collecting signatures to add to our statewide total even after we get there. But it's really important that we get those final several hundred signatures. So this coming weekend is a really big weekend locally for the Quality Education Act signature drive, where we hope to get as close as we can to actually getting the number of signatures locally that we need to put this initiative on the ballot.
Luke, did they try to move the goalposts after the Medicaid Expansion Act?
Yeah.
And did you move them back?
That's right. And Chris and I, we've talked about that before, but just so listeners can get an update on this, about back in April, the legislature and the governor did something very extreme. They passed a law that made it virtually impossible to put future initiatives on the ballot. Our organization immediately filed a lawsuit, and we asked the Idaho Supreme Court to strike down the new law as unconstitutional. Just back this past August of 2021, the Idaho Supreme Court ruled in our favor. They struck down the anti-initiatives law that was passed by the legislature, and they restored the rules to what they were before. So now, once again, it is at least possible. It's still very difficult, but it's at least possible to get initiatives on the ballot. The court ruled that the legislature had violated the fundamental rights, the constitutional rights of the people of Idaho, and that by striking that law down, they were restoring the constitutional rights of citizens.
Yeah, you've made that point before. It's already darn difficult to get an initiative passed and get something on the ballot right now with a 6% requirement and, you know, 18 different districts having to approve it. It raises the bar pretty high. How many, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, Luke, but how many successful, just getting on the ballot, how many initiatives have been successful in the last 10 or 20 years?
Only 2. Just in 2018, the Medicaid expansion initiative, our initiative, was on the ballot together with the horse racing initiative. Medicaid expansion passed the horse racing initiative did not pass. But those were the only two initiatives that made it on the ballot since under the current rules.
It seems like it's getting totally out of control.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Because one of those passed. One of those two passed.
Yeah, that's right. And there had been 15 attempts. So it's not as if people hadn't tried. There had been 15 attempts, but only two out of 15 even made it on the ballot. So. Yeah.
And the check on it, I should say, you know, we should say the check on it is the whole state then gets to vote on it. It just is on the ballot so that it has to, on its own merits, be decided by the voters. And that's what the legislature is trying to really screw down and make very difficult, even impossible to have happen where right. citizens can get something on the ballot that might have a chance of passing. Mm-hmm.
That's right. They it's very clear in retrospect that they didn't want Medicaid expansion to pass, the majority in the legislature, and they had tried to block it for 6 years, and it really angered them that the majority of the citizens really stood up and demanded that Medicaid be expanded, and. You know, perhaps something similar is happening now as they look towards the future and they're looking at our organization and our efforts to expand, you know, funding for public schools. They want to make those decisions themselves. They don't like that organizations like ours can go out and, you know, build networks of volunteers around the state and get citizens involved in the process. Unfortunately, you'd like to think that everyone would agree on the, that the citizen initiative process is generally a good thing, but it took bringing it all the way to the Idaho Supreme Court to protect those rights.
So Laura and Jim, do you hear a sequel here?
I certainly hope so.
I mean, Luke's not showing any signs of stopping this. So
yeah.
I feel like there's more to be done.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Well, you have that opportunity. We got another initiative coming up. You could follow. Do you still have the green RV going around, Luke?
We do. We're in the middle of making a decision whether or not we're going to be able to bring it around for the screening on Saturday. If we might not be able to make it through the snow, the snowstorms that are coming up in North Idaho in the next few days, but. We'll see what we can do, but we do have the camper and we'll be back around. We'll be back around before long, if not this weekend. Mm-hmm.
Well, Luke, we only have a couple minutes left, but we've talked a bit about the Quality Education Act, but could you summarize what the goal there is briefly?
Yes. Well, the Quality Education Act would increase funding for education by over $300 million a year. It would go directly towards priorities in our K-12 system. Mainly the fact that we are losing teachers in droves. We're finding it extremely difficult to hire not just teachers, but support staff in the state of Idaho because our rates of pay, our salaries and our wages are some of the lowest in the country. And that's not surprising because we are dead last in funding for K-12 education out of 50 states. Some people still don't know that, but we are dead last out of 50 states in how much we invest in our children. And beyond better pay for teachers and support staff, which is what this initiative is all about, it's also more funding for programs that are critical. Things like career technical education, you know, programs in welding, agricultural science, carpentry. People don't realize that when we fail to fund education, those programs get cut around the state. And in addition to that, we've got a whole lot of districts that still are not providing full day kindergarten because they can't afford it. We've got a whole range of other vitally important programs that are going underfunded. So, better pay for teachers and support staff, strong programs, that's what the initiative is all about. And maybe the best thing about the initiative is that it's paid for in a very reasonable way. So the only new taxes in the initiative are restoring, the initiative restores the corporate rate just to what it used to be. So not any big new rate, just back to 8%, which is what it was for over a decade before they started cutting it. And then it also adds a new income tax just on the amount of money that a married couple earns over their first $500,000 in a year, or for an individual just over the amount they earn over their first $250,000 in a year. And the important point here is that this is a modest modest adjustment to the tax rate, because even if you're in that category and your family earns over $500,000 a year, you will see no new taxes on your first $500,000. You'll only see new taxes on the amount you make above $500,000. So this is a very reasonable way to fund, you know, a big, important investment in the future of our children. And that's what the Quality Education Act is all about.
Okay. Well, I'm going to throw out just one more question, and this is for Laura and Jim. What would you like people to come away with after watching Reclaim Idaho this weekend?
I'd like them to come away with a fire in their belly and run right up to Luke and be like, what do you need, buddy?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I want anyone who watches it to understand that as powerless as you may feel, you do have power. You just have to take it. And that takes work. And it takes people like Luke and Emily and Garrett, you know, kind of shaking the tree. But we're not powerless. And that's a really good thing to know. So that's what I hope people come away with.
Well, the film is Reclaim Idaho. It's showing at the Panada at 7 p.m. this Saturday, January 8th. The doors are going to be open at 6 and Luke is going to be there. But Luke is going to give a talk at the conclusion of the show. So you can look for Luke there. And unfortunately, Laura and Jim, you won't be making it. But you'll be there in spirit. Your work will be up on the screen.
They'll be here for the sequel.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. We got that sequel coming. Well, I want to say thank you to Luke Mayville, Reclaim Idaho, and filmmakers Laura Wing Camusi and Jim Camusi for taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Chris.